Hello there, guys. Welcome to episode 29 of Copy Talk with Rob and Greg. I'm Rob.
I'm Greg. Hi, guys. And today we've got a very special guest called Amy, and she will now explain to us all what she does, which is very fascinating because it's a very specific niche, isn't it, that you work in, Amy? And so we're keen to know a little bit more about what you do in the Bristol area.
Of course. Hi, guys, and hello to your listeners. Thank you very much for having me on the show today. Am I right in saying I'm the second lady to be on your podcast?
Third now, I think.
Yes. Oh, lucky third.
Okay. Danny on the last one.
Yeah.
Nice. We're happy to be part of that threesome. yeah, a little bit about me then. So I'm a personal trainer and nutrition coach. I've been in the industry since 2013 now, which has gone really quick, but it's been an incredible few years. I run a personal training studio called Empowered Fitness. We're based in Southville, so in the south of Bristol, and we really focus on helping women in their 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond who are struggling with weight gain around perimenopause and menopause, and they want to feel strong, they want to feel like they're back in control of their life, but they don't really want to go to a gym to do that. So I've created a space which feels like a nice warm hug for women who don't really want to go to the gym, but they want to make some serious lifestyle changes and get some long-lasting results.
That's lovely.
So what would you describe like your facility as? Because obviously you say like it's not a gym. What would you describe it as? Is it like a studio or a...
Yeah, good question. I describe it as a personal training studio. The word gym, it conjures up quite a few connotations, which definitely doesn't describe what it feels like when you come to Empowered Fitness. And that's what a lot of people say to us. So it's a small group training studio, and we train all of our clients in groups of 2 to 4 people. So you've got that nice supportive community element without the intimidation of a regular gym with the rows and rows of treadmills and cross trainers. It's very much not that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah. Waste of space, yeah, as I like to call the cardio equipment.
I completely agree with you.
So that's a few points there really I'd like to touch on with that. And would you say then you've got a very specific demographic that you choose to work with, or if you get different types of people, if you get guys coming in, is that still possible, or is it a women only gym, or it's not?
So
a gym.
It's definitely not exclusively women only. We do have a few guys on our books that absolutely love training with us in an environment that isn't so masculine. They don't really want to be in a gym full of bodybuilders or guys in their 20s looking absolutely ripped and knowing exactly what they're doing. And it's pretty much the same for the women that are with us. They don't want to be somewhere which is full of mirrors and lycra clad girls in their 20s and gym bunnies. And
your gym, basically.
Oh.
Naming names.
Well, I haven't been there, Rob. But
no, to be fair, it's not just them. It's the description of, like, I'd say most commercial gyms are kind of like that. But that's who they actively try and get. Like, it's one thing I've noticed about a lot of the commercial gyms. They tend not to market towards, like, an older demographic. It's more younger. So would you say that's typically what you try and do, is focus on more the older sort of demographic?
Yeah, absolutely. Most of our clients are between 45 and 65. So we've created an atmosphere for them which feels really safe, really nurturing, but by all means we get them working really, really hard, and we teach them how to lift weights often for the very first time in their life. So we teach training with barbells, kettlebells, dumbbells, their own body weight. And I think women of the age that we work with, they're starting to read and they're starting to hear about the need that they should do resistance training. They know it's good for their bone density. They know it's good for balancing their hormones, but they don't have a clue how to do it. They really do need that helping hand, that support to show them how to do it safely and with confidence. So that's really what I feel quite passionate about and the environment I've tried to create. So those people don't feel like the gym space isn't for them and they can't get fit because there's nowhere for them to go and do it, where they feel like they're not going to be looked at like they're a bit of a wally.
Do you ever have difficulty like explaining to some of these people like why they need to be lifting weights? Because I always find that like a lot of the women that I speak to in the gym, they're like really drawn to the cardio, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm just going to do cardio because I need to burn fat and then I'll look at doing the weights. Like, whereas you, I find like you're in this constant battle of trying to explain to them like, no, if you want to lose body fat, you want to get in better shape, you need to be doing the weights as well as the cardio.
Yeah, like, I know.
How do you overcome that?
I usually find that by the time someone's sort of come through our doors, they've done a bit of research already. They've started to hear some whispers that this whole resistance training thing is something they should be doing. And they know that it's good for the bone density, and they know they need to do it so that they can feel strong for their day-to-day activities, but they just don't know how to do it. But I completely know what you mean about women feeling like it's not for them. And I've had many conversations trying to explain the benefits, as you say. And all I really hear is that people are scared. It's not that they don't want to do it or they don't understand and appreciate the benefits. It's just the fear around it. And I think once you can remove the fear, people are a lot more open to it. And actually what I find is once you can take someone away from the attachment to treadmills and cross trainers and Zumba classes and get them lifting weights, they enjoy exercise for the first time in their life.
Wow.
Generally cannot wait to get into the gym and start lifting because they feel more energetic. They can see their body actually starting to change shape and feel different for the first time ever. And it's something they can see themselves doing now for the foreseeable, rather than it being something which is torturous and, you know, they're trying to put off all day long because all they can think about is how boring it's going to be when they've got to plod out on a treadmill for half an hour.
That's a good point as well, because like my girlfriend, she always said to me, I don't want to do weights because I'll become too muscular.
Yeah.
And I said, well, why don't we try, you know? And we were kind of like members of the gym just across here and didn't always go. So I do my own thing, you know, and I've always said, well, what should we do? Should we do Pilates? Should we do yoga together? So we can do it together and motivate each other, you know? But yeah, it's something that I suppose I avoided as well, doing weights a little bit, because I thought, well, as long as I do something, you know? But you would both say then really to incorporate that somewhere into what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. It is critical. And it's not just for people who are already fit or already strong. It's for everybody. You can make it so easy, but you can also make it so advanced. And that's why resistance training is a great starting place for anybody, because it can be regressed and progressed depending on different injuries, impairments, age, fitness level. Some people think that they might be too unfit or too old to start resistance training, but actually the way that I think about it is you can't not do it. It's the best thing that you're not doing at the moment. And I don't know what you think about this, Rob, but when you look at the typical gym floor, there's loads of TVs everywhere, right? What do you think those TVs are there for?
Well, interestingly, funny enough, with the newer Pure Gyms, like, they don't put TVs in anymore.
They
literally just have the plain, like, wall in front. And then there is a bit where, like, they can put their phone. But, yeah, I get what you mean. It's like trying to, like, James Smith was talking about this, like, people going on the treadmill and, like, watching Netflix or because they're bored.
Yeah, it's there to entertain you, because what people are doing is so boring that they have to have a TV to get them through. And exercise really shouldn't be that way. You should, when you're working out, you should be so engaged in what you're doing. You're really thinking through the movements and you're thinking through perfecting your technique and progressively getting, you know, heavier on your weights. And the TV concept has always baffled me. I know when I work out personally, I don't have time to watch TV.
So it's almost like people are zoning out. They're going, right, I'll do my hour run. and watch a bit of whatever is on the TV.
I didn't think of anything worse than spending an hour on the treadmill, personally.
No, definitely not.
So let's talk a little bit about how you really got into this in the first place. What you said, you're passionate about your clients and the demographic, and why is that?
So yeah, let's think about my story. It started when I was very young. So when I was in primary school, I was the fat kid, and that surprises a lot of people because they look at me now and I look fit and lean and they just assume I was the sporty kid at school, but that was definitely not the case. I was quite overweight for my whole childhood. I got bullied for that a lot in school. You know, kids can be really mean and really cruel. Mm. And that hugely affects your self-confidence. So I'd labelled myself as a fat kid, and I carried that around with me. And I guess a small part of me still feels like the fat kid. So as I then went from primary school to secondary school, I decided, right, that's it. I've had enough of being bullied. I'm going to get rid of this weight. So I started over-exercising. I used to follow a Rosemary Connolly VHS at home in my living room. I don't think many of those are around anymore. but hey, it was the early 90s. So I chronically over-exercised and under-ate to the point where I then got to secondary school and I was the skinny kid. So I got lots of comments about how thin I was. Part of me felt quite smug about that, but also very, very sad. It was a very, very low point in my life. Body confidence was low and I was very, very unhealthy. So it took me a few years to recover from that. And naturally I did, as the puberty kicked in and my family supported me through it. And I just naturally gained some weight again. But those issues, they still stayed with me. I still felt like I was a fat person. And it wasn't really until about 2010 when I first moved to Bristol and I started training at a small group training studio opposite my house. And that was where I worked with a PT and I learned to lift weights. And I suddenly noticed my body was changing. My self-confidence was changing. I started getting interested in nutrition. So I started buying nutrition books. And before I knew it, I was absolutely obsessed with learning as much as I could about diet and about exercise. And I felt incredible. So my body was by no means perfect. And I'd also been diagnosed with hormone imbalance at the time. So when I was 18, I got diagnosed with PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome,
okay,
which is one of the reasons why I have always struggled with my weight, because naturally, you will be a little bit more overweight, struggling with that imbalance.
Mm.
So I had a few things going on, but I felt incredible with this weight training and with this new diet I discovered. I was very unhappy in my job at the time. So my background was working in advertising and marketing, which I didn't really enjoy. And my husband said, look, Amy, you're absolutely obsessed with all this fitness stuff. Why don't you do that for a living? And I thought, do you know what? I feel like I can do that. So jumped on a personal training course, and it took me a period of 12 months to build up a small client base where I felt confident enough to take the leap and go out on my own. And before I knew it, my books were full. So that's where it all started, and I haven't looked back ever since.
Fantastic. How long have you been over now? It's by the harbour side, right? Bristol Harbourside.
Southfield.
Southfield, yeah. So I opened my studio 3 years ago. So I opened that in 2016. And yeah, it's been an incredible, crazy journey. And I really feel that I finally found what I was meant to do in life, which is a really lovely place to end up. And so many people don't find that passion and that career they really enjoy. But I love helping people every single day. I could literally never get bored of my job.
Do you think that your past, in a way, served you to become who you are? Because sometimes, like, our past pains, lessons, the things we go through, however painful they are, they can be the driving force for us to end up where we would, where it takes us. Do you think that sort of happened with you a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I think I have so much empathy for the women that I work with. Although they have different challenges, I have empathy for the situation they find themselves in, with low self-esteem, low confidence, disliking what they see in the mirror, and not feeling like they belong in an exercise environment. So that really helps to build someone's confidence up and nurture them through that whole journey to the point where they feel like they're back in control, they're in the driving seat, and they feel on top of the world because of what they've achieved. So I think, you know, my story, although it was hard, absolutely, that's why I've ended up where I am.
Mm. And that's the thing, is as well as I suppose with labels, you know, all of us in some way can define ourselves or label ourselves as a type or whatever, emotionally, mentally, physically, growing up, and the influences we have. But I think this is a good lesson in, you know, for people to know that they don't have to define themselves by anything, really. And it's kind of more of a perception. You can change your life from the inside out. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I completely agree. We all label ourselves in some way or another, don't we?
Definitely.
And that will change, yeah. So we all carry a bit of baggage.
That's right, yeah. And some of, you know, a lot of things we never really completely overcome, I suppose, but sometimes they're the things that push us the most. And talking about that side of things, what about the business side of it? I mean, how did you find it building a business?
How long have you got? the very honest and very short answer is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, we get that.
Doing it, no. So it built very organically in the early years. I quite quickly knew who I wanted to work with. And so I had that niche of people that were drawn to me in a way. So that built very organically. Everything changed when I opened the studio though, because then I needed a team of people to work with me and help me spread my message and get on board with my vision and my message. So now there's a team of 5 of us that work within Empowered Fitness. And we're all very focused on helping a certain type of person, taking a certain type of approach and a shared vision. So the business has been all about creating a group of people who can achieve that together. So that's where a lot of my focus has been over the last year or so, working within my team and ensuring that we can create together the best possible experience for our clients.
That's the thing as well with business coaching, because I do that, or small business coaching. I work with teams sometimes, smaller teams. It forces you to almost become a leader, doesn't it, as well? Because you know that every person has their own role, but collectively you're interdependent and you'll make a difference to that vision. So you really need to find the right people that are on board with your goals and vision, but they're happy also and passionate about that.
Yeah, definitely. You have to find the people that share your core values. I'm quite passionate about the idea of core values, to make sure that you're all aligned, and then you can bring those values into the way that you communicate as a team and the way you communicate with your clients to bring that whole vision together.
Nice. So,
yeah, it's been an interesting journey building the right team. But I absolutely could not do it without them. They're complete stars. They get praised daily by our clients for the service that they deliver. And that's why I love what we do. It's just an incredible environment for my trainers to work within, and also clients to come and enjoy fitness.
So how did you go about finding, like and building your team, like how did you find the right people and the people that sort of matched up with like your values, and were there maybe some people that you had to let go that you feel like, no, you're not quite the right fit for us and you don't kind of get what we're trying to build?
A lot of trial and error. So as you said before, Greg, you find yourself as a leader. So when I first stepped into the fitness industry, you know, it was just me. I was a personal trainer. I was training clients, teaching nutrition. I didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. And then all of a sudden you realize, wow, I'm a leader. Okay. So you have to put that leadership label on and put that hat on and discover how to do it. And you only do that through failing. So I've made some terrible mistakes, but I've learned a lot of things. And you have to fail in order to learn and to grow. So every time I've hired the wrong person, it's like, that's okay. There's a learning in that. There was a reason why that person wasn't right. And so next time you're looking for a good fit, you know exactly what you're looking for. And I find that most of the trainers that come and work with us, they have a very clear idea of their values and where they want to work. And you just find a connection. You know, when you're talking with someone and you just connect, you know that your values are aligned and that relationship is going to work out really well.
Yep.
And so I've always hired people on personality and on values and never on their skill set, because all the skills can be learned. So the trainers get mentored through all of their fitness coaching, learning our approach to nutrition, which is very much around understanding hormone balance. And you can learn all of that stuff, but personalities are really what bring the team together and make you successful.
That's great tips as well for people who are trying to build a business and look for the right people, isn't it? Because, yeah, I agree with you. You know, someone might have a great education, and they might even have amazing experience in the right line of business. But if they don't actually work well as a team and gel with the ethics and the culture that you created, then, you know, it could be just one thing that makes the whole thing tumble, you know? And yeah, I agree with you as well that, you know, failures are growth, you know, and you tweak, you change and you improve from it, don't you?
And I agree with that. And also I think sometimes you get people where they've got all the technical knowledge and all of the know-how and they know everything about this particular exercise, but their like social skills and their people skills are not the best. So although on paper they're like a really good trainer, but because they're not very sociable and they're not got the best kind of people skills, sometimes it's they're maybe not quite right for that
exactly.
Job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, those communication skills are really key, because you can have all the expertise and, you know the names of all the muscles and all of the science stuff, but the people you're working with, honestly, they don't care about any of that kind of stuff. No. They just want to know what to do, and they want to know that it works, and they want to feel good, and they want to make progress. So there's a lot of trainers that slip into baffling people with science, and there's very few people I've ever worked with that really care about the science. They just want to know in very simplistic terms what they need to do.
Yeah,
totally agree.
And with this year coming, going through fast already, like last year did, what are your goals for this year? I mean, are you going to try and, you know, grow this thing so it becomes a franchise?
Do you know what? A week doesn't go by at the moment where someone doesn't ask me if I want to franchise.
Sorry about that. I just had to do it.
This is your business coach hat on here.
It is my, yeah. I'm always thinking of growth, you know? I'm like, so how many of these are we going to have rolled out in the Southwest?
Would you like a franchise, Rob?
We can talk about that, certainly, between us later.
So, franchising, I would say it's not completely out of the picture. Maybe, I'd never say never. My goals for this year are really to make our current studio the best it has ever been. So we're trying to create the best semi-private training experience that Bristol has to offer. So we've made some little tweaks to the way that we work with our clients at the start of this year. And we don't offer one-to-one training anymore. We're focusing on what we call semi-private personal training, which is working with 2 to 4 people at a time. So we've got a whole new approach, whole new programs, and our goal for this year is to make that the best experience ever that any woman could have in Bristol.
Wow.
So goal for this year is to really work internally to make that experience amazing. And I would love to have a client base of 100 by the end of the year.
Fair play.
Wow. Wish you all the best with that. And you've also got a, is it a 21-day empowering transformation program? Is that part of this new process or?
Yeah, so our 21-day programs, we've been running them for a few years, and I like to think it's our signature program that gives people a kickstart and a little taster of what the empowered fitness experience is like. So our next sort of cohort of 21-day program people is going to start on the 16th of March. So it's all about introducing people to weight training for the first time in their lives. So those 45 plus women who have not started yet, teaching them how to weight train, taking them through our hormonal fat loss nutrition plan, and helping them to make some changes that they're going to stick by for the rest of the year. So it's certainly not one of those faddy 21-day detoxes or cleanses or quick fixes, but it's a stepping stone to the changes that you're going to make, not just for the rest of the year, but for the rest of your life. So some of the women that go through our 21-day program, they jump in and they change many, many things and they manage to sustain that. Some people, they just want to make a few small tweaks, and just changing a few things over that 21 days and really embedding those habits feels sustainable, and they can then carry that through to the rest of their life. So it's really a kickstart to learning how to get strong, learning how to drop a dress size, and falling in love with exercise.
Love it. So just to finish off, what would you say are like your top sort of maybe two or three tips for, say, middle-aged women who are looking to kind of get back into exercise again and maybe lose a bit of weight? What would you say are your top kind of two or three tips for them?
Good question.
Oh, great question. Love it. Okay, so the first thing I would say is try to let go of the all or nothing mindset. So we tend to be very perfectionist in our approach to health and fitness, and we're either doing all of it or we're doing none of it, on the wagon, off the wagon. So my first tip would be to just make a few small changes, even if it's one change a week, even if it's one change every 2 weeks, but you can keep on slowly moving forward rather than trying to go from no exercise to 5 workouts a week and then sustain that for a couple of weeks before you then stop. So just making small sustainable changes, all or nothing, is a really hard place to be. So that would be my first tip. The second tip would be to try to move away, if your goal is weight loss, try to move away from feeling like if what you're doing right now isn't working, then the solution is to eat less and eat less and eat less and do more and more and more and more exercise. Because what I've learned over the years of working with women in perimenopause and menopause is that you don't want to push that metabolism out of balance. So what I find works very well for women in this time of their life is to work on stress reduction more than anything. So don't cut the calories too low and don't do excessive exercise because it's too much of a stress on the body. So that would be my second tip. And then the third thing is to start to think about your priorities. So if you're a middle-aged woman, you've got a lot of things going on in your life. You're trying to hold down a career. You're trying to support the family. So you're trying to bring up your kids. You might also be looking after elderly parents. And then you're also trying to look after yourself. There's a hell of a lot going on there. It's very overwhelming. It's very stressful. And so health as a priority starts to slip further and further and further down the list. So I would say think about why health is important to you. Really connect with the reasons why that is important and see if you can start to bring that priority and yourself as a priority further up that list, and then carve out some times where you can actually work on that priority. So it might be that you need to get up a little bit earlier and you need to get that workout done first thing in the day before anything else gets in the way. It might be that you've got to do it later in the evening where all the craziness of the family has come to an end, and then it's your time. But so diarising things and getting your family on board with this priority is really key, because women will never prioritise themselves unless they really have to. Unfortunately, it often takes a health scare for people to start prioritising themselves, but prevention is definitely better than cure.
Some great tips there, Amy. Yeah, that's fantastic. And actually, I'm going to get my girlfriend to listen to this.
Yeah.
Because that's the good point of, if we can't look after, or we don't look after ourselves first, how can we look after everybody else in the best ways?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got to look after number one, haven't we, really?
Yeah.
It's like the saying, isn't it, about put your own oxygen mask on first. They say, like, when you're on the plane, they tell you to put yours on first before anybody else's.
I always would, yeah.
I like that.
Got me there. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, Amy. And we've, as we always love to gain new knowledge and get an education from our podcast, we've got one again today from this episode. So thanks so much for coming on and sparing your important time with us.
Pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
On here again at some point.
Something useful for your listeners.
Yeah,
absolutely. We've got no doubt about that.
Where's the best places to send people if they want to find out a bit more about you, or if they're potentially interested in working with you?
Please come and find me on Facebook. So if you look for Amy Oldfield on Facebook, my personal page is where I post daily, and I put out motivational, inspirational, educational content. So if your listeners want to find me there, I hope they'll find that really interesting.
We can put a link to that in the podcast description.
Fantastic stuff. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, and we shall let you get on with your day, and hopefully we'll get you on again at some point to let us know what's going on further along in the year.
Oh, I would love to come back. I'd love to come back. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you very much.
All right. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, guys.